This week on the program, get out to the theater to see the sequel, but this one stinks. It's The Accountant. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
The Eric Siska.
Solomon Grundy.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. That's right. This week, we are talking 2016's The Accountant, directed by Gavin O'Connor. And as we've said elsewhere, this one, no bueno. Accountant dose. Good time.
Which I think is out in theaters either now or it's going to be.
Now or coming out pretty soon. Right. Yes. Definitely an I got it, by the way, situation.
It definitely is. Andrew and I saw it early at South by Southwest. The premiere. Ben was there. With his gigantic fucking head.
Huge dude. Huge.
Humongous.
Unreal.
That's why you can keep all the numbers in it. It's such a huge head, you see.
I mean, the problem with this, and I imagine the sequel would have to be better because this movie just trips over itself with the exposition of telling you what the fucking story, which you can get done in 5 to 10 minutes,
and then
have an accountant adventure, and I would, like, the whole whatever John Lithgow thing, and, oh, I'm fighting my brother, whoops-a-doodle. That's great.
Yep.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, but isn't this about being up? I'm sorry, I was shot.
It's about being accountantistic.
Yes, accountistic.
Yeah, it is weird how but the movie both dances around and doesn't dance around him being high-functioning autistic in this movie, and that's part of it. But it's just the way that it gets you, you know, informed about that for the character is through all these flashbacks of the dad being like, toughen up, fat body.
Yes. And the flashbacks are so annoying. And then seeing him as a kid flipping out. None of that is in the sequel thing. This is not really spoiler territory. It's more of a buddy cop comedy kind of.
Yeah.
And I had a great time with that sequel.
I've been thinking about this. I mean, now is not the time. We don't have the votes for this, but I want to institute some new legislation.
Okay.
Okay.
It's an office that I would run.
Okay.
Where if you
just
want
to put yourself in charge.
Absolutely. If you want, because it's my idea. If you want to show a flashback of a character as a child in a movie, you have to file for a permit. And then, like, you just send me the script, and I'm like, oh, no, actually, you don't need to do that, because actually this line of dialogue here gets all that information out without having to flashback to him as a kid. Denied.
And then maybe we could have a movie, The Accountant 1, that's like an hour and 45 minutes.
That would be fucking sick.
Then 2 hours and 8.
You're asking for, like, mini SAG-AFTRA to protest out your office, like all the kid actors. and then union rules, we have to swap them out to protest, like their brother has to come in for 10 hours.
Right, they're all twins.
Yeah,
we can only protest like 3 hours at a time. And then you got to swap in the other twin.
There's Marvel movies still being made. Disney's going to buy your office and take it over.
Well, I'm sure they'll buy it for a pretty penny, and then Steve's all set.
Oh, it's not going to him.
It's always a waste of time to cut to somebody as a kid. Unless, like, that's what there's movies about kids that go through things.
Mm.
And then, like, the idea that an adult has to flashback to being a kid for you to understand what that adult's about is stupid.
But here's what's funny, and I think we've made fun of this before, but I would take it 1,000 times over one of what this movie does, which is the cutting repeatedly back to kids. We always make fun of when a comedy starts.
Oh, yes.
And you see, like, the little comedian version of the character, which is annoying in its own way.
Certainly.
But
that would fall into my office's purview, by the way.
But it's always just the one, though, and it's at the start, and we're not constantly going back.
And then you wouldn't have to have this, I'm sorry, embattled kid actor try his best, slapping himself in the head it's the worst parts of the autistic representation, which you just cut out because you don't need it in the movie anyway.
It's the main
thing
of autistic representation.
If this movie was just straightforward about the information it was portraying, it would be so much quicker and so much better because we have this
still bad.
This opening weirdo scene with you don't know who's, there's a big shootout, you don't know who's walking around doing it.
Yes, well, I kind of have an inkling.
Okay.
Because I noticed the calculated steps.
But it's actually not that. This
it's
is
not the accountant.
This is J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
This whole thing starts with, like, there's a police operation in progress, cops going into a building, there's a shootout going on. You hear someone say something about, like, we need more people down here, but I'm going in or whatever. Yes. And you don't, you just see like the feed of people and you don't see the accountant is
he
present.
He is there. He was there killing.
He's upstairs. He's upstairs doing the killing.
I was talking about his calculated steps because I thought it'd be funny because he's an accountant.
Yeah, I got you. Sure.
Calculated.
But he's taking steps. And it reminded me a lot of the opening of Analyze This when everybody gets shot and, you know, he has a breakdown.
Right.
And it's some similar breakdown he has here.
But this movie also... One, it does a really bad job at thinking it's hiding the fact that Affleck and Bernthal are the brothers grown up.
Why even hide it?
I don't know. But then also, why even hide that J.K. Simmons is the guy?
Yes.
J.K. Simmons is the dude at the start of the movie, and it hides J.K. Like, it turns out J.K. Simmons knows everything about the accountant, you just can't find him. Why is that a hidden part of the movie?
Wait, are you telling me? Okay, so you watched the opening of this movie.
I did,
and you weren't thinking the whole time, who the fuck was that? Who the fuck? Whose POV was I on the whole time? I just can't fucking stop thinking about it.
It's this mystery. I can't wait for it to be solved for me.
And Ben Affleck isn't even on the screen yet. I can't do two things at once.
So that, just this opening thing or whatever, and then it goes into the accountant title card, which is not great, and then it goes, we're still in flashback mode because now we're in Hanover, New Hampshire in 1989 at the Harbor Neuroscience Center. Indeed.
Which is, especially later, it turns into the Xavier School.
Sure does.
I'm sorry. It does. I'm sorry, folks. Yes. I wouldn't portray it that way. The accountant portrays it that way.
This is Computer Girl. Yes. This is Assassin Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it does.
Oh, you're
that.
Very special, all of you.
Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah. He can start fires, and that's it's a special power.
I'm going to call you the accountant, and you... The accountant. And there's a few accountants in
here. Well, I guess, you know what? I'm going to open an accounting firm. That's pretty good. I'll do well around tax season. By the way, get that shit together, guys.
It's
time to file.
It's past due now.
It's past due at this point.
Oh, you need
if you're listening to this when it comes out, I hope you filed an extension. You're on your way to El Salvador, baby.
Yeah.
So it's just his parents and, like, you know, the mom is like, receptive. You got this guy, the doctor or whatever, telling your son's not, you know, nothing wrong with your son. He's actually quite special and he's probably a genius and all this great. And he's doing the puzzle very quickly, but he kind of freaks out because one of the pieces is missing. And his brother, who could that be, helps him by giving him the final piece.
Yeah.
And also, we should say that he's doing the puzzle upside down, not using the image on it. And then you see the underside of the table as he puts the final piece in, and it is the famous Muhammad Ali photo there.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Yeah, he's doing it upside down.
Okay.
Yeah, because the guy is saying, the doctor is like, you know, things like loud noises, you know, can affect him or whatever. So, like, in controlled environments, this, that, the other thing. And the dad very much wants to throw him into the deep end, like, well, life's got loud noises in it, so fuck you.
We're going to beat it out of this boy. I've got an Indonesian martial arts expert on the dial, ready to fuck this boy up.
I've got basically a bunch of people that... You know who trained Bruce Wayne? It's that, but it's...
he's not going to hunt for no fruity flower or nothing, all right? He's just going to fight people.
We don't have Bruce Wayne money. Are you fucking serious?
And as you might suspect, this guy's parenting practices makes the wife leave.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
That's such a great shot.
Sure does.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead a little.
No, I think it's actually pretty...
It's in a different flashback, but who cares?
It's all the same. Yeah,
the wife does leave. Leaves on Christmas, by the way. That's tough.
That's a rough one.
Braxton giving her the finger.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Pretty nice little stinker moment.
But the other thing we learn in this first flashback here is he... uses the Solomon Grundy nursery rhyme as his like centering thing.
Yeah. And what was that about? I didn't know any of this nursery rhyme stuff.
It's just a nursery rhyme that I don't know anything about other than the fucking Batman villain.
Me too.
The name is scary, right?
That
sounds like a guy that comes and rips your teeth out at night.
I think that's why I used him as a villain.
Yeah,
there was a Batman villain called Solomon Grundy, and he was a big fucking monster guy.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Born on a Monday, down on a Tuesday, something, something by Wednesday. I think
buried
Thursday
on Sunday.
And Friday, I'm in love. No, wait. No, I got it wrong.
Oh, no, he was running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You're still wrong.
Ah, damn it. But the police were on his back, right?
No.
All right, fuck. But so we then flash forward 20 years later, 20 minutes south of Chicago, we're told. And this is, we're introduced to Affleck as Chris, the accountant. And I like this scene. He's meeting with a couple who's really taken a bath with the tax payments. And the wife has to have this horrible line about like, well, maybe just this year we'll put our taxes out on the credit card. And folks at home, this is what it's like to live in fucking America.
It's crazy.
Just and like this woman really nails the desperation. They're like, maybe just this once.
Here's a question. Would you rather kind of get reamed on your taxes? Because this is the choice they have. They're going to get reamed on their taxes.
Yes.
Or they're going to do well on their taxes, make some money back probably even, but then four assassins come to your house and you watch like grown men die and like your truck gets totally fucked up.
I'm keeping my house and I'm not going to jail.
Yeah.
The second one.
Okay.
Sure. Let's watch those grown men die.
That's how fucking desperate people can get in this country. I'd rather watch four dudes be executed on my farm right in front of my face than have to deal with the fucking IRS.
Dude, living in America today, Steve. I mean, that's just what happens now.
And bodies are good for crops. A little bit, like a little flesh.
I saw that Children of the Corn. That is pretty good.
It's there, but you know, human beings are fertilizer.
Sure.
But he, you know, he's a math genius, and he basically figures out like, oh, you sell stuff from your house. That means it's a home office and all this,
exactly.
All these tax loopholes. Which
it's
is
like,
fun.
How big do you think your workspace is? And they're like, oh, 200 square up.
He's giving him the thumbs up, go higher on that. And he's like, 300 square feet?
We're supposed, do you want us to lie on our taxes? Are you serious?
But
why, dude? Literally everyone else does it now.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
And here's the thing.
I would never. Don't look into it.
If someone helps you out with your taxes, just buy him a nice fruit basket. Send him a bottle of wine. Come into my house and shooting guns.
Yeah.
I mean, I really appreciate what you did, pal. Here's a nice bottle of whiskey. Thank you.
I didn't expect him to take him up on the offer, to be honest.
It's an invitation.
It looks like it wasn't going to happen.
The guy is initially like, you know, there's some good fishing out on my property there. You come out fishing. He's like, I don't fish. And he's like, well, what do? I shoot.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you can come out and shoot some melons there on the property instead.
What? Oh, that's great.
There's a great moment here where, like, after he helps them or whatever, he goes back in the office and the secretary or whatever is sitting at the desk and she's like, something, my daughter. Like, she makes some line to, like, set him up with, her daughter, and he just goes, nice seeing you. Yes. Like, walks in his office. We should say he is doing a little bit of a something here.
Oh, yes. He's very much of a something.
It's the way he speaks, is modulated a certain way. Very precise kind of talking.
Not moving his face.
Yes.
He's doing quite a lot with that.
Yes. I will, which is Ben Affleck style, by the way. And I like Ben Affleck fine. I actually think that he does good here because he doesn't try to do too much.
It's not over the top.
Because if he went because he can't do like a big performance, like, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, you can't be playing it like Jeremy Strong in The Judge.
Exactly.
Also written by this screenwriter of this movie, as I found out last week, much to my chagrin.
It's fine, but also Ben Affleck as a math genius, I'll never buy it. Yeah. I'm never buying him. Autism or no?
Because that's Matt Damon for you, right?
Exactly. <That's>,
yeah. I think they know that, Steve, because there's not much accounting going on here.
Not a ton.
There's like one big montage of him writing numbers on
walls.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sorry, but let's go to the other universe in where there's much more accounting.
Sure.
Oh my God! More fucking accounting in the account. We'd be fucking yelling about it if there was too much accounting, dude. I feel like in this one, there's just enough.
I'm not saying it has to be wall-to-wall accounting. That's not what I'm asking for. What I'm asking for is if you're doing this like, oh my God, he's done accounting for the fucking, you know, drug dealers of every sort.
Yeah.
I want to see those scenes. Like, yes. The stuff that's weird and funny. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see. You just see him in pictures like, I'm hiding.
It's a fair point.
Can't see Ben Affleck's face.
I want to see him balance his Al-Qaeda's books, you know?
that's
maybe
a weird
pop down
thing
to the Houthis and figure that.
You're spending way too much money on Seinfeld DVDs.
You like this much KFC?
Wow, that's a lot of pornography.
Wait, hold on. Did you plan that bombing from your house? Oh, that's a home office. You can write that off.
They're filing for taxes in the United States.
Oh, wait a minute. You put those flight lessons on your personal credit card? Oh, we can take those right off.
A deduction for not learning the landing portion.
How big is your lab in Bogota? And in what part of your house is it?
We cut to Washington, D.C. This is where we're introduced to Cynthia Dye Robinson as Mary Beth Medina. She's working for the Treasury Department and is called in by one Mr. J.K. Simmons as Ray King, part of the Treasury Police.
Someone needs to look at this. If there's a C plot in your movie, maybe you don't need the C plot.
For sure. Well, for sure.
I just love the idea of that. There's someone at your job named Director King.
Pretty cool.
All right.
Pretty cool. But also, like, why does there have to be two?
Yes.
Why can't it just be either this lady or J.K. Simmons? Because, like, J.K. Simmons, so much of this movie is him being like, you got those reports for me? I'm just waiting in my office for reports.
Because that's who he is. Like, post, I mean, I forget. This is after Whiplash, I think.
I'm almost positive.
Four years after Whiplash.
After that, he's going to be that character. I mean, I would say after fucking Spider-Man, he's going to be that character. But even more after Whiplash, that's all you get.
Right.
I mean, you bring him in to be the boss.
And to humiliate Mary Beth Medina here with her past, shoving shit in her face. And this is sort of exposition for no reason about this character, because this her past does not come up in this sequel.
It's irrelevant to any decision she has to make in this movie whatsoever, other than the fact that, like,
he's like blackmailing her.
Well, yes, but it's like she got in trouble, like, as a youth, blah 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 blah, and he's like threatening to send her, like, back to jail or whatever it is, and, like, you've sort of gleaned, like, that's why she is so, like, trying to, like, the law is the letter, and blah, which is actually more in the second movie of her being like, you guys are just killing people. And I'm like, yeah, that's why we're fucking here, Mary Beth.
Well, that's what I was shocked to hear that she's in the second one, because I'm like, they bring her in and do nothing with her in this movie. Shit. Why would you bring her back to do nothing?
Strap in for more nothing.
Oh, great.
Chris, what's less, awesome. Chris, what's less than nothing?
Negative.
Negative.
But, like, it is amazing, though, like, because, like, all we set up is she's going to be the accountant's new person he calls to arrest people. Okay.
Pretty much. That's
great.
And that's kind of like what the second movie. So, actually, not really.
And yes, again, it would be probably boring if we got to know this lady's life. But that's what you set up. You set up her versus him. And it's mostly him just being in the room.
Here's where you could have more of Mary Beth Medina's life and her being cold on the trail of the accountant at all times. If I wasn't flashing back to these kids street fighting in Paris and all this other stuff that's
so
going
much.
On.
Like, and we're also cutting in to Jeffrey Tambor at parts, and I'm like, no thanks, except for his torture scene, which is really
pretty good.
Funny.
Pretty good.
Dude, probably, because I watched this and The Judge back-to-back yesterday. This was the biggest laugh, him being tortured
in a
chair. It's fucking great.
Well, also, you put Jeffrey Tambor in, I mean, and this is kind of, I don't know where the flashbacks are, because they're everywhere in this movie.
Right, yeah.
But there's flashbacks to them in prison. I see Jeffrey Tambor.
No touching.
Exactly.
No touching.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Arrested Development again.
You got to give him, like, a skulllet or something.
Yes.
You know, because he just looks like Arrested
George
Development.
Booth, He's a mustache.
He ends up being the real father figure to the accountant and teaches him accounting.
The dark accounting, that's
There's
right.
There's always money in the banana stand. You understand that, Ben Affleck?
And by banana stand, I mean the Colombian cartel. Who
yes, I mean,
gonna work on
they are in the banana trade.
But yeah, like, Simmons just has this woman dead to rights or whatever. He's got all, like, the file photos up or whatever, including he knows that she's got, like, a sexy gun tattoo on her thigh or her ass or whatever it is.
Nice.
And he's like, is that a 45? She's like, no, actually, it's a Colt, whatever.
Oh,
like,
right,
okay.
Yeah. Pretty great.
And then there's, like, this is the accountant here. This is the accountant there. Al-Qaeda. This is.
Do you like puzzles? yeah, you know, who survives this kind of clientele? He wants to know.
The accountant with Harvey Weinstein.
Here he is with Muammar Gaddafi. You see in the background there, they're actually taking down the pole at that exact moment this photo was taken.
And, yep, it's him and James Toback right here.
Oh, and here's a fun one with him and Brett Ratner.
Yeah, wow. In Israel, wow.
Wow, that son of a bitch. He's everywhere.
So Simmons' whole thing is he retires in 7 months. She has 7 months to figure out the identity of the accountant, or he is going to send her to jail.
Sure.
Yeah.
All righty then.
Fine.
Now we go to jail.
Why? But I guess this will motivate her. This is what good bosses do, is motivate under fear of jail.
And you know what? You want to do something for the evil guys in your audience.
Mm-hmm.
The evil guys are like, hey, why doesn't a man have power over that woman right there? What's going on here? Why the fuck? Mm-hmm. Come on. I need, and of course, J.K. Simmons in for the save. Yes. He is controlling her, or he's going to put her in the big house.
Yeah. Right. Like, she could just be a plucky young new executive.
Yeah, why does this threat have to happen? Yeah.
And she's a woman of color, and it's like this weird, like, she got gang ties or whatever is going on there.
And also, it's a weird thing where he's like, you know, you're so fucking great. Like, why aren't you a field agent? And she's like, well, being an analyst is kind of more my speed. The pay is fine. Or fuck that. You're getting out. You're getting all sorts of danger. Let's go right now.
And I want you to shoot him. That's right. Murder on the case.
No,
yeah.
I want you to fall in love with the accountant as much as I have. He's changed my life and made me a better man.
That's true.
We're going to take those glasses off of you. We're going to try to get you hooked up with the accountant. Well, look at that. You're prettier than you thought.
Oh, so you're not just a stupid bet.
See, he said no to the secretary lady trying to set him up, but we're going to do this work, goddammit. I want this man married.
So we see a little bit of how Chris leads his home life, including, I know this dude's a precise motherfucker, pulling into this garage way too fast.
Oh, he's just zipping in.
Dude, like the door's barely open.
Well, remember, he's calculating all the angles, the velocity. Yeah. There's all, because all of life is numbers. You don't know it, but like, even there's numbers in the letters I'm saying. Like, there's a certain, like, every word has numbers in it because it's like a word, W O R D.
Right.
This is four numbers.
Nice, dude. It's some real QAnon shit you're working with over there.
Yeah, baby.
I'm just trying to understand his mind, right? So he zips it in there.
Yep.
He knows exactly how to park that, have the garage go down and not clip the back of the Ford F-150, which is, I think, maybe because it's the most popular car in America.
Sure.
I don't know how that happened.
And I'll be honest, he does something that I'm not a big fan of, breakfast for dinner. Not a big fan of breakfast.
I used to be a fan of it as a kid, and nowadays I'm kind of like,
I think every once in a while.
It depresses me because when we didn't have money, we'd have breakfast for dinner.
Oh, well, there.
You know, just grab an egg because that's what we're having.
You can scramble an egg no matter how high or low the sun is.
In this economy, breakfast for dinner, I don't know. Gotta know, son.
Yeah. Eggs are $20.
That sounds like two different meals. I don't know about that.
Dude, we're going to turn into fucking Johnny and Cobra Kai just frying bologna for breakfast every fucking day of his life.
That's what you should be doing. Yes.
I don't care for breakfast for dinner. You know, it's just breakfast is for breakfast. It's great. No, I love eggs. It's great.
It's a rarity.
Your head down to your legs, dude. Mm-hmm.
It's a rarity, but I do like it occasionally.
Oh,
but
no, it's like,
but to tell, I mean, obviously, the whole thing is to show you he's weird. And that's autism.
Stop trying to get back to the movie. Let's go through your breakfast for dinner. What are you making breakfast for dinner? Because there's a lot of breakfast options out there, and I'm curious what you are doing.
What I'm doing
for dinner?
This
is the get to know Chris Cabin segment.
Oh, this is part. We start in this.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Here's a theme song. There it is. Okay.
go
ahead.
Scrambled eggs. Usually a good piece of toast. You want a sourdough, I think. Usually.
Okay.
One has butter. The other, you know what? You can go with the jam or like with the cheese spread if you so wish.
Sure.
I don't know if you're going that decadent. Sometimes you'd like a dry.
So not,
like
you're not doing the pancake or anything like that.
Sometimes
here it comes.
Sometimes I will. There's varieties. There's so much.
Okay, here's the ultimate question.
Sure.
Cereal.
I usually not for dinner.
There you go. That's the good. That means you're allowed.
No, sometimes like a yogurt with a muesli every occasionally, but
cereal for me when I'm a high as a kite at like 11:30 at night. Bowl of cereal there.
That's usually when
then
you
another
want
bowl
it.
Of cereal. Wait. And then maybe another bowl of cereal.
There's usually not another good reason to be having Cinnamon Toast Crunch. if you're eating that for actual breakfast, people will be like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
I've been known
That's
to do
all
it.
Sugar.
I've been known to do it, dude. But yeah, so he's got his, you know, he's got his little things of bacon, some scrambled eggs, a little bit of a little silver dollar pancakes he's made there. He's
but it's all
setting
perfect.
It all,
like the eggs are like in this mold.
Yep.
Everything has to be just numbers, so, and circle is a number too.
That's true. It's a bunch of
it's
numbers.
Precise.
Yes, circle is a number too. The forgotten Sesame Street song.
Yeah, it's zero.
Every time something like this happens, I do kind of want like something to come across the screen with a big thumbs up and says, "That's autism."
Well, he goes into the autism room. You understand
his autism chamber.
This is cool. This is like I like the idea of self inflicted. I mean,
for sure.
It's like the Catholic thing, right? Like you. You hit yourself.
Oh, the cat o' nine tails on your back. Yeah.
Exactly. You punish yourself in order, I don't know, fill in the rest.
Sure.
But it's like the bright light, the heavy metal music, And he's got this wooden, like, chair leg that
baton
he's
baton or something. Yeah, we're rolling it down our shin.
Yeah.
I have not done research on...
None of us have.
Yes. No.
Let's just say this is a thing he does in the movie, he's, like, meditating and whatever. Yes. And then the scene's over with, and there's more movie to talk about.
Maybe listen to System of a Down in there.
There's
loud music of some.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it.
Yeah,
I think
it's not good. But
the loud music, this whole thing, but we should say it triggers, this is the Christmas memory.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks about that during the meditation of mom leaving on Christmas.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Because the funny thing is, like, later when he meets Anna Kendrick, she's like, well, what's your deal? He's like, my dad made me train with these people and I was really good at it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I got it. And it takes 30 seconds.
It's it. It's, you know, I don't need to see him again as a little Street Fighter kid.
Yes.
You know, brawling with all these boys.
And if you're gonna, because we'll get to that. We'll just talk about it now. If you're going to show me the beginning of that, I want to see a little kid rumble.
Yeah.
Don't tease me with a great time
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Oh, you lazily true. Show that in the movie. Yeah, I want the full thing. Well, I want teeth on the fucking curb.
Yeah. We want that. This guy was trying to shut down the kid stuff, right?
Well, no, exactly.
Your whole committee, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, all right. You know what?
You're going to ruin little kid fighting for everyone.
Oh, then we'll never forgive you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there is a guy like you out there that cut.
I was going to say.
Said you have to trim some of this out.
The trouble's already started. If we don't have kid fights in regular movies, because like what? One of those Marvel movies, maybe we get a kid fight.
Sure.
Maybe one. And it's probably an alien shit. And that right. doesn't count. I want real kids fighting each other.
Yeah, no alien kid. I want two kids fighting.
I want a kid kneeing another kid in the nose and breaking the nose.
Yes, a squirt of blood hitting the camera lens.
Yeah, this is the last time I'll mention it in this episode, but watch Cobra Kai. It's 60% kids beating the shit out of each other. It's awesome.
Which is, yeah,
it's fucking great. So anyway, Chris takes the farmer up on the offer there. We see him using this insane high-powered rifle to shoot these melons, and the farmer's like, this boy must be crazy. Those melons are probably a mile away.
Well, if this dude, you barely know this guy, he helps you out of your taxes, he shows up with an anti-aircraft gun, you're like, oh my God.
And he takes the melons. Are they providing the melons, or is he bringing in his own
you
melons?
Got a BYOM, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, he brings his own melons. But then you're personifying them by drawing faces on
the
them.
Faces,
that's
it's
scary.
It's very creepy. Mother, they have faces on the melons.
Well, that looks like me.
Oh, we got the little mustache.
It's like a perfect like boardwalk caricature of him.
Is that melon wearing my lawn mowing hat?
Yeah, I never rode a skateboard.
Overalls.
Uh-huh, that's Kennedy, that's Reagan, and that's me. Oh no.
What's that? What's he using? Oh, that's the gun from Eraser, isn't it?
Mother, he's got a super gun out here.
I think you can shoot an angel with that gun, I believe.
Oh, but he does have a gun. He's like, not on my best day, mother. And then Chris just fucking nails these three melons right in a row. It's awesome.
Fun. It's cool. Again, yeah. Then you got to be like, oh, Chris, we're moving tomorrow.
We're just selling the farm, even after all your helpful tax advice.
Because he's just showed up there. This is not like a one-time. Again, like, usually with something like this, you're like, come on out. I'll buy you dinner. He's not showing up every week. Mother, he's back.
You can't.
He's got that big anti-aircraft gun again.
You cannot ask him to leave.
No, you can't.
No,
he can squat. He can start living in your house.
Yep, he's moving right in. What are you going to do about it?
Now I live here.
You don't have an anti-aircraft gun, do you? I didn't think so.
I'm going to bring over my Airstream.
He goes to the storage facility. This is where you're introduced to the famous account Airstream, which definitely makes it to part two. Don't worry about it.
Better.
Oh, yes.
But this thing's great because this is inside this huge storage facility is this Airstream trailer where he's got the guns, he's got the money, he's got
all
the different currencies, the passports, the works of art. We got a Renoir on the wall. We got a Pollock on the ceiling.
Action Comics number one.
Drove me crazy. Later in the movie, he's like in a rush. He grabs this thing.
Throws
it. It's like this week's New Yorker. He's just like slamming it.
Pulls that. You know what he doesn't get when he's escaping, though? Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Did you catch that?
Okay.
And I love this is what the movie's like. Yeah, you know, these guys that are on the spectrum, they love Star Wars. They love this. They love that.
That's the weird part, because like later in the movies, they're like, "Oh, you know, it doesn't make sense. It only adds up to like $1 million and all the money that he's getting. It's like maybe he accepts payment in other currencies. So like you're on the phone with fucking Gaddafi, right? He's like, "I need you to do my taxes."
Yep.
He's like, okay, I'm going to need Action Comics number one. Now I got to go out and go to fucking Sotheby's? Mm-hmm. Like,
unless I think it's the other way. Like, what do you have for me? Like, right. What can we, I'll kill these guys or whatever. What do you
how
have
about
for me?
Money?
Gaddafi, what do you have laying around the house? Do you have any artwork? You can just hand it over to me. The Pollock on the ceiling, above a bed, that speaks volumes. What is he doing? Is he trying to add his own signature?
Recreating.
Laying down on the bed, on. Seeing how much he could propel himself. Yeah.
Recreating it on a lady's chest.
Let me tell you, I'll tell you right now.
Yes.
Not for all the Semenex in the world are you blasting that high. You're getting the fucking roof of a trailer. I don't think
works,
so.
It worked in Scary Movie.
Listen, we've got...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you do.
And right, I forgot it worked in Scary
that's
Movie.
That's a scientific study.
And it would have the force, too. That's just incredible force there.
Yeah, well, he's got these powers, this guy.
I notice a cool little detail right here this time around. So he lays down on the bed that's in the trailer, and he's looking up at the Pollock. Do you notice what T-shirt he's wearing?
Yeah. No, what is it?
It's an Evel Knievel t-shirt, uh-huh. And I just thought it was cool because Evel Knievel was a daredevil, and Ben Affleck played daredevil.
Oh, you should put that on the IMDb trivia, and I will thump it down.
Somebody probably already has it. How much you want to bet on that one?
Ooh, yeah, I didn't look at the trivia.
I did. It's not there.
Oh,
you
damn it.
You could break that news.
But to your thing about having to go out to Sotheby's and get Action Comics number one, isn't it like... It's like known the people that have that still, right?
It's such a limited item or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know,
how many do you think are still in circulation?
Oh, I have no idea.
Less than 10? Is it that kind of a
but
rarity?
But it's also like but it's also the conditions or the near mintness.
Sure.
And this thing, obviously, it drove me nuts. It's like it's printed like it was. Yes, it's so bright and so vibrant.
It's like printed on paper that wasn't invented in the 40s or whatever.
Sunlight never touched this thing.
Yes, exactly. I also like. So you're like, oh, yeah, well, I got this car bombing next week, but I got to go to fucking New York and pick up an Edward Hopper painting for my fucking accountant. Christ.
Sitting there doing, like, the panels, holding it up, like, yeah.
No, yeah, they stole my ideas. So, no, I mean, you can have it. You can have the lightsaber. But
what are you going to, ooh, Gaddafi money.
I have a couple guys need to be taken out.
While he lays down right here, it's another... He falls asleep, so it's just in time to wedge in another flashback, and then this is where we meet Jeffrey Tambor and him teaching him all the dark accounting stuff from
prison.
It's
just something I do not need in the movie. Like, it's so wild how much fat is on this movie when, like, it could be a nice, lean, cool, like, because what we're trying to do is a Jason Bourne thing, by the way, Ben. I know you saw that movie. Like, we're trying to do a cool Jason Bourne thing.
Do you know, just out of curiosity really quickly, I just thought it was neat. When this movie ended on Max, it was like, would you like to watch any of these next? And indeed, this movie came out the same year as that final Jason Bourne.
Oh, really?
I still have never seen it, which is people. It's Gilroy.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Fine. I like Gilroy, so I'm curious to watch it.
It's definitely worth a watch if you like those Bourne movies.
Yes.
But I'm also the guy that really liked the Jeremy Renner one, so I don't know if I can speak accurately.
Okay, I mixed it up. I've never watched either of them. I never watched the Gilroy one, which is the Jeremy Renner one.
Oh.
And I don't know who directs. I think it might be Greengrass again.
Oh, did Paul Greengrass come back for Jason Bourne? It's just
probably
what it's called
not.
In 2016. Yes. But anyway, I thought it was funny that the accountant comes out. And it's very him borning it up.
Yeah.
And Matt was like, one more round for me, buddy.
I'm almost certain Renner's the Gilroy.
Yes.
And I think Greengrass did come back for Bourne. But this is, we do this all the time now. Everything must be turned into a reveal.
Yes.
So something like Jeffrey Tambor, who I don't care about,
nope,
and like I don't think anybody would, is doing all this, and like it's supposed to be a big reveal. That do you know what happened to him? I'm like, I don't care.
No,
the guy was in jail.
Yeah.
I assume he's either still in jail or out. Like,
exactly.
What the fuck?
Well, like, they show what happened to him.
Third option.
It's worth seeing.
That's awesome.
It is pretty great. So Ben wakes up. He's got a phone call from his handler here, and she wants him to take this case. Which is John Lithgow and his robotics business. You get a hint of sort of what's going on here because this woman on the other end of the phone with an English accent says things like heavy sigh instead of just so sort of glean that it's a computer talking to you, but they don't highlight that until the very X-Men end of it all.
It's also really annoying because, like, it's this cool thing. To Chris's point, it's like, he works with the worst people in the universe, fucking terrorists and drug dealers. I'm like, exciting. It's like, John what Lithgow. If I took something with John Lithgow and his accounting, his yeah. robotics firm? I'm like, well, what the fuck?
And Gene Smart. Like, yes. And I love Gene Smart. Of course. Shut the fuck up. It's not a drug dealer or a terrorist king.
No, it's just we need some corporate accounting here to sniff out what's going on.
It's like you just, lab. Oh, you just missed the exciting one. That was last yeah. week. Yeah. This week it's robotics only.
That's yep. true. I would like him to go to ISIS, figure out why the caliphate's yeah. not doing well. But no, I do actually agree. I feel like it should be a more exciting case.
Yes.
This. Yeah.
And I mean, again, I love Lithgow. I love Gene Smart. I even like Anna Kendrick. I like all
how about Lithgow as a terrorist? Or oh, like a happy-go-lucky.
Death to America!
Yeah, he's a domestic terrorist, maybe, you know?
So, yes, this is Gene Smart as Rita and Lithgow as Lamar Blackburn, brother and sister here.
Sure.
Whatever you say, movie. Okay. You want to call him Lamar Blackburn? You got it, dude. And John Lithgow is Lamar Blackburn.
LOL. And it's just this thing where it's like, well, we've been doing the books for years and everything's been fine, but we hired this woman and she's very small and she found this is an accounting problem.
Well, it's Gene Smart and this other guy
oh, right.
who has an amazing fucking off screen, but you get what's going on
yes.
Death later in the movie. But he's like the accountant yes, for this firm. And this guy's getting all indignant because he's like, I have worked here for 15 years with John Lithgow. And fucking Affleck is just like, oh. I will need the accounting records for all 15 of the last years.
Right,
like, I'm already sniffing out this guy's crooked.
He asked for 10 years, yes. and then he found out this guy was CFO for 15 years, so he wants the full 15.
And then we also get John Bernthal somewhere around here in, like, Zurich.
Zurich, yes.
With Dewey Capital?
Yes.
Oh, this guy.
It's kind of, it's an interesting, again, this is a different movie, whatever
sure
he's doing,
is.
Where it's like, I'm, you know, you're defrauding your investors or whatever, and like, I'm going to kill you if you don't do this thing. And
pretty much.
And it's like, which company? And it's like, you're going to have to stop with all of them then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you which company hired me, so you have to stop shorting all of these companies. And he is pretty just great. Like, this is what Bernthal is great at, like doing that whole like, oh, you think you're so tough? Yeah, sure. Like, go grab that gun. And he's just like smacking the guy. And it's a smack that's like, better than a gunshot,
yes.
you know?
Yeah. Really high hair here for Bernthal.
Big, yes. big.
It is Seinfeldian. It is Jerry season like 6.
What's the deal with quaffs? But yeah, this is this Living Robotics is the company, and they do 3 major things: consumer electronics, medical prosthetics, and basically drone technology.
Yes.
They don't say the D word in this movie, but it's drone technology.
Oh yeah, baby.
It's what we're dealing with here, and Lithgow sort of like, offering is anything you need, of course, anything. I'll get it for you, Mr. Accountant.
And we're showing like the prosthesis work, and he's like, look what I'm doing, I'm fantastic.
Yes, I'm giving people a new lease on life, you see. Yes,
not evil at all. You
couldn't
can
be
tell.
Crooked? No way. I dare you put me in front of a judge.
Why
Maybe
would I,
judge?
A huge actor, be in this role?
Get out of here, accountant. We don't want you anymore. Don't you understand?
Oh, I would love that. Slap him with the business section. And
he kind of does do that a little bit later in the movie. But so Chris comes back. He's like, all right, I'll be here first thing in the morning to start the job. He goes back to this conference room. Now there are all the records that he asked for out in all these boxes around the room. There's Anna Kendrick sleeping at the table. Yeah, you got to love your job, lady. And sleeping at work. That sucks.
She just explains, you know, I was the one that found the error, so I wanted to work with you. Like, I don't work with anybody. And she kind of is like, she wants to S this dude's D pretty quickly.
Immediately.
And he's just shutting it down, you know.
Left and right, she's like, there's some donuts on the table here if you want some breakfast. I don't eat donuts. That's fucking awesome. I don't eat donuts.
Would you like to eat me? Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. There, it's your Ben Affleck again.
We get a fucking pointless press conference with J.K. Simmons where he's
Mother
just like, oh, here's Mary Beth. She's working on the case. And now back to the movie.
Uh-huh. Right. I guess that was trying to show her good agency. Like, she's going to handle the presser. He's trusting her, question mark.
You do see, like, in the same cutaway from the main character of the movie, she then goes and she's talking to Homeland Security. And they have a video of Chris or something. And it's security footage from the raid at the beginning of the movie.
Can we talk about the email real quick?
Oh, please.
It's so shitty. My God. At one point in the movie, she does like a crop of like the side of his head.
Oh, yeah.
And just emails it to someone saying like facial recognition, ASAP! Yeah. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yes. That'll make him work faster. Yeah. The more exclamation points you see.
Yeah, I thought that was a really poor email.
I do, like, these bits are like the invention parts in Mystery Science Theater. It's like, I want to hit the fucking skip button.
Yep. Let's just keep fast forwarding.
Well, sirs, what we have here is...
And now back to the movie.
Yo, don't worry. We'll give her a bunch of exposition at the end of it, and then we're at credits.
They have something. They mention, like, oh, this assassination or whatever, the shootout was going on. It's the Gambino crime family.
Little Tony involved.
This guy, I love this guy. Mary Beth, what have you gotten yourself into?
Oh, God.
He's fucking, like, talking to the computer.
Do you know who this guy is? He killed Rigatoni Gambino.
And there's all this stuff about, you know, all these aliases he's been using, which, you know.
They're all names of famous mathematicians.
And autistic people like Lewis Carroll, et cetera.
Sure.
The eye-rolliest of eye rolls, like, she's like, she finds out guy number one, who I never heard of, some mathematician, like, the Prince of Mathematics. And it's like, L-O-U Carroll, like, maybe that's the name. And it's like, maybe Lewis Carroll. I'm like, you know who fucking Lewis Carroll. You don't need to Google who Lewis Carroll is. You know who he is.
But all the old-timey photos of him, he's not making eye contact, hence he's kind of an accountant.
Mm-hmm. They're portraits, they're paintings.
Doesn't matter, dude. This is what her research is turning out.
Of course.
But so we have a really awkward scene with Anna Kendrick and Ben Affleck where they are having lunch, and she's clearly like, she's the perky pokey, wants to talk to everybody. He just wants to sit there and eat his lunch quietly, you know, and she's like, oh, dented steel thermos, huh? How'd you do that? I'm like, lady, just give up. Just go go back to the cafeteria. Go eat in your car. Stop bothering this guy.
I don't know. He's 6'4". He looks like he could throw me around.
Go on Match.com.
You're finding Ben Affleck? Yeah. Are you?
That's a fair point.
We'll just wait for the sequel also.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. Wait for the
sequel. He's fucking? Oh, good.
Sort of. Not really. So then they get talking about
the corner.
Yes. They get talking about like art and whatever. And she's like, oh, my dad likes four dogs playing poker, blah, blah, blah. And he's very funny here. He's like, I like dogs playing poker too, because dogs would never bet on things. It's incongruous.
I like incongruity. It's just funny that the guy has a Pollock in his, car. And, he's she's trying to shit on dogs playing poker.
And then she has to reverse course. That happens twice. She shits on something else that he likes. And she's like, oh, no, it looks good on you, though, or like whatever it is.
Do you like the original Star Wars? I have a lightsaber in my house.
Luke Skywalker's original lightsaber. It's in my trailer.
What?
You heard me. This is where we get Chris Cabin's favorite scene. Here's the accounting. He literally rolls up his sleeves to get into some accounting.
This is actually a good scene. Like, I actually like the way it rolls. I like all this stuff. And, like, I like him working. And I like the mysteries because I don't know anything about fucking accounting. Yes. So you can do whatever you like
out there. If you like a thing of Ben Affleck, like, running numbers and looking over charts and whatnot, you got to watch that educational voyage of the Mimi that he did.
Oh, I've already seen that fucking thing.
C.T. Granville, dude, he's helping that old-ass grandfather of his look at all the charts and ocean shit.
Oh, they don't dedicate them. Themselves.
So the Voyage of the Mimi was a thing that we had to watch in grade school.
Hold on, that's not Drew Carey's lady.
No, that was
that
just
show?
Mimi. Oh, okay. Maybe they call the Voyage of the Mimi the one where Mimi went on vacation. She took a cruise.
Possible, yeah.
It's a thing.
You're
where,
not talking about that?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about, which is a Ben Affleck little kid miniseries thing that had an educational component to it. Yeah. So like we watched this in grade school, like in science class, you watched like the episode. And it's about, like, he plays this kid, C.T. Granville, whose grandfather is, like, a boat captain. And they go out in New England doing, like, oceanography kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end of every episode, you'd have this supplemental thing that would be, like, here's what they learned in the episode. So now we're going to learn about ocean stuff.
I see. Okay.
And it just starred Ben Affleck. Like, it's the weirdest thing. They get kicked off the boat at one point. The grandfather's like dying on an island or something. And there's something about like surviving in the wild skills.
That we've been mutinied.
I don't remember exactly what it is, but I just have this memory of like the grandfather's in a tent, like not doing too hot.
My preferred early Ben Affleck is the Families in Crisis steroid problem.
Yeah. This is even before, before he rips the sink off the wall. I'm pretty sure, because he's a real baby in it.
It's on YouTube, his steroid freakout, when at the end he's just chugging pills and slamming his shoulder into a wall. It's pretty great.
That's how you do it, dude. Good, that makes it go faster.
This will make it kick in faster.
Mm-hmm. He's good at anger. That's always been the little thing, especially in the early, that because him and Dazed and Confused, it's just him like yelling, like,
"Oh yeah,
are you fucking serious!"
Even when he was working at Casual Mail at the mall,
yeah. That guy had some problems.
Yes. He's a big dude, and like you know, it's like one of those things where it's like he's a big hulking monster. It's like before you could really put him in action movies because he's too young.
Right,
he's got a baby face. So it's like he just looks like an asshole. And he kind of has, he did have asshole face for a while.
Oh, Mallrats, big time.
Argue he still sort of does.
Yeah.
Up to and including Accountant 2.
Like, like looking at him in this movie, if I was walking up to this guy, I'd be like, oh, there's going to be a nightmare. Whatever conversation's going to happen, there's going to be a nightmare. And it is.
Dude, you don't want to see the accountant coming around the corner, dude. I'll tell you right now.
I just hate this haircut.
Oh, it's a bad haircut.
It's a bad haircut. It's a bad, bad haircut.
Really short, but not. Like
but just like no
cut.
Style or definition to it at all. It's just,
you can set your watch to it. It's calculated.
Because him and his brother are opposites, you see. His brother's haircut's really tall.
Sure.
His haircut's very short.
But this is just like you took like a head shaver and just did the one setting and did your entire head like that is basically his haircut. Not great. He rolls up his sleeves, gets into some accounting work, does it. I love the shots of him throwing the used up markers into the garbage can.
I guarantee you go to, you, even if you're hired as a special consultant, you go to some robotics company or wherever and you start, you get a marker out and you start writing on the glass walls.
Oh, they're coming for you.
Hey! You're not like, you're done.
This guy's yelling at you.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Hey! What are you doing?
Do you have clearance to be writing on that window? Mm-hmm. I didn't think
and then
so.
Someone like throwing paper in front of you with a pen.
Is that Campbell's soup you're eating? Get that the fuck out of here. We're a
progresso company.
There is a moment here that I really love towards the end of the montage. He does a little dance bit, and it kind of just, he looks like the gopher in Caddyshack, like just dancing in his little hole.
And like fucking Anna Kendrick comes in, sees all this math, get a fucking bucket for this lady, dude.
Oh no, my calculations are being wiped away by your fluids.
You thought Voyage of the Mimi took place on the ocean.
Give me a ship.
All this math? There's so much math.
Oh, so many numbers.
Me and my grandfather rode her sea for years. And then one day my grandfather got sick and we were on an island off of the coast of her vagina and he passed away.
And then we did numbers. We thought about numbers and we talked about numbers.
She's just straight up like, I got to go home. I have no reason. I have to go home now.
And the cool thing to Chris's point, I think that some of the math stuff is cool. The weird little theory about the threes. There's all these threes in the numbers. Like when you're making up fake sums, you're usually going to use the same numbers over and over again. Look at all these threes. It's like, oh, that's an interesting something. Thing. Yeah. I've gotten some math knowledge. Oh no, now we're watching a fucking 9-year-old kid slap himself in the head again.
Yeah.
You're making money, but there's a leak. Like him going through the whole.
She's like, there's a leak, all right.
Oh yeah, look out below, dude. Someone called janitorial. But Jean Smart comes in and sort of crashes the celebration here, and she's like, you know, what is it? And he gives the amount. It's like over $61 million. And she just says, like, she wants a report on it, kind of walks out, and that's like sort of the end of what's going on here.
And now this is the Bernthal scene, I think.
This is Bernthal comes in to see Chilton, who is the accountant for this robotics company, the dude who was so pissed off about Affleck asking for the 15 years of accounting information. And we're just at this dude's house. Bernthal just sitting there. There's a couple of goons in the back playing PlayStation or whatever while he threatens this guy in the most terrifying scene I've ever seen a man eat a pie. He's eating this key lime pie, ready to kill this guy. He's got the insulin needles on the table, and he's like, so here's what we can do here. You can make it look like you accidentally OD'd on your insulin, and you can just die quietly, and we'll be gone. Or you can put up a fight, and we're going to torture your wife.
You say violate your wife. He goes,
then says violates, and then it's kind of funny though, because then he reneges. He's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that last part of a violate you. Nobody's gonna do it. We will kill her. Nobody's gonna violate her.
I just talk sometimes, you know. I just talk about incredible rape sometimes.
He says he's gonna burn his house down, you know, all this stuff, and all the while he's just casually eating key lime pie and drinking an ice cold glass of milk, and it's terrifying.
It's a great pie. I gotta say.
Yeah, dude, it does look pretty good.
Why would you, if you're this, I'm sorry, if you're this wife and you make the biggest lemon meringue pie I've ever seen, just to put it under his nose, like,
you're right. It might have been lemon meringue. I guess I'll have to watch this for
the
third time.
It's the big white cap.
Yes. Yeah. It's not key lime. Damn. But key lime is my preferred.
I love a good key lime pie.
Oh, yeah. Key lime's great.
Can't really get it around here because they don't use actual key limes. It's just shitty lime pie.
Yeah.
Place in Red Hook, though, imports them.
Really?
Probably not with the tariffs anymore. I don't really
from
know.
From Florida?
I don't know. Here's, that's a different country, dude. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Here's $2,000. Here's your key lime pie.
So the last line of that scene is, make a decision, sir. And then you wake up, that dude's been killed.
Yes. And basically, Lithgow's like, get out of here, account. We don't watch anymore. Basically, it's like,
yep, he does it.
Because he's... We figured it out. It's fine. And
he says, I'm now responsible for the suicide of my best friend. Take your money and go.
And that was like, best friend.
Really?
Even his ghost is off to the side. Best friend.
The ghost's eating the piece of fuck. Best friend.
Did you guys hang out? Did you go to like the movies or something? Like, what's about this friends?
The thing is here, they're erasing his work off the windows and the boards and getting all the files out. And he is particular about he needs to finish projects. He doesn't like it when he can't finish.
I just wanted him to shoot everyone right now. He's like, you did what?
I have to finish.
Like,
she's already came and he's like, I have to finish.
If you're going to just start breaking necks, just like, snapping necks.
Just having a freak out here would be welcome.
But he goes home to have the freak out, and he's clearly rattled because he almost crashes right into the garage door. Doesn't pull in all the way. The door comes down and hits the flatbed of the truck. He goes in. He's doing his
punishment room.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he really starts. He fucking cracks it over his own. Like, listen, it takes a lot for me to wince at movies. But the first time he just really bangs that into his shin.
It'd be great if you just walk with a limp for the rest of the movie. Like,
seriously, I really fucked up my leg, dude.
I really fucked up my leg.
Perhaps I took that too far. Because just the couple of beats are really bad. Yes. And then he just cracks this thing. And I was like, gah!
You're getting a splinter there,
bro. Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
God. But now, this is where the accountant has to put down the calculator and pick up that anti-aircraft gun again, because he goes out for another casual shoot on the farm, and a bunch of goons follow him out.
This is one of them looks like Jackson Galaxy, the guy from My Cat from Hell.
Right, yeah.
He's got this big beard.
I know what he's talking about. It's a TV show. I don't know if it's still on the air. It was about training your cat. Like, if your cat had a problem, he would go there. It was like Caesar Milan or whatever.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But this guy wasn't abusing the animals?
Was he abusing the animals?
Well, because he would do that, like, fucking, like...
Finger in the ass?
Like, he could, like, flick them and shit.
Well, you got to flick them a little bit.
No, you don't hit animals. Anyway, what was the show about?
You said hit? You were doing like a snap.
No, wait, he would like flick them.
Flick them.
Like flick their ear, like if they're not listening.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, you just do a little and like, you don't fucking hit animals. Man.
I didn't see this guy hit
animals.
No,
he never hit animals.
So he's a weird cat guy with a dumb haircut.
But he's got a big old beard.
Oh.
He's got a big, like this big guy, this big white guy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this guy's got to be a wrestler somewhere. Yeah, maybe not like a televised circuit.
Backyard,
but yeah. He's gone in the squared circle a couple times.
And again, when you got the gun to your head and they're talking about this guy, you're like, maybe we should have taken a loss this year. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, maybe pay the $12,000 penalty. It would have sucked, but we could have just paid the penalty, and now a wrestler's going to kill me.
But you know what? 10 minutes later, when we make it out the other side unscathed, I'm like, boy, I'm glad we decided not to put our taxes on the fucking credit card.
Wait, because, you might make it. I mean, if they had gotten Ben Affleck, you make out. You got saved this 1 year. That's all you needed.
The thing that sucks here is before we can get the goon squad, we got a flashback. This is where they're fighting with this Indonesian fight trainer, and the dad's like, yeah, keep beating the shit out of my kids. And the guy's like, sir, I'm pretty sure they've had all they can stomach for the day. And the dude's basically like, are they still able to get up? They still breathing? You better start hitting my kids
again. This line of like, well, then you should be covered in blood and snot, not them.
Yes.
I will beat the autism into you, sir. You beat it out of my boys. I will beat it into you.
It's just crazy because, I mean, you find out what happens to this dad later. And LOL. It's hilarious, but like, you need it to be a thing where Chris and Braxton turn on this guy and fucking kill them.
Yes.
Kill him themselves.
Menendez, the dude, man. I mean,
totally.
This guy also is like a low-rent Ben Mendelsohn a little bit.
Oh, I could see that. I was thinking he actually looks like a low-rent John Grease a little bit, too.
Just like, you've never seen this guy before. It's just kind of...
Or since, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. He's definitely not pulling up in part two because there ain't no flashbacks to be had.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, they're just getting trained. Brax has like a LaRusso headband on, which is kind of funny. But it's just this huge guy just beating the shit out of these two little kids and then back to the movie,
that's
I
good
guess.
Work if you can get it.
But yeah, so... Chris has that flashback while you see him like laying down in the truck amongst the melons.
Yes.
And then when it cuts back, you just see the flatbed. He's no longer in it, but the melons are all still there. And it's like, oh, the accountant's on the case now. And he just lays waste to these dudes.
There's a great one where the guy is like kind of hiding behind the door frame and he just gets fucking murked behind it. It's pretty good.
It's really
good. Is that Operator Beard or is that the other guy?
No, the Operator Beard is in the truck later.
Okay, he's the one who like takes them hostage and gets out to the truck or whatever. And Affleck, the dude's driving. There's two dudes still. He's making the man drive the car. The wife is riding shotgun and this bearded guy's in the back seat. Affleck gets on the back of this truck. This is like him doing Batman. I mean, he kicks the fucking window in, drags this guy out, beats the shit out of him.
And I've woken up and I'm like, oh, cool. The movie started. You know, because like, again, like this is like 40 minutes in. And it's like, if this movie is an action movie, give me action in the action movie.
The fight that they have, like the dude whips out a knife here and Ben like takes off his belt and the guy just goes, what the fuck? It's really funny. And he just starts whipping him in the face with the belt.
I do like the knife versus belt, and the belt really gets this guy.
You want to play knifey belty, do you?
Ow, 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 ow.
He eventually like gets it around his neck, right? And he's like, tell me who you work for. Was it the Gambinos? Was it Muammar Gaddafi? Was it those Saddam boys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, them Hussein boys are at it again.
Macron? Tell me if it's Macron.
I got to go back to our... There's so many kids there. I've done all of the Saddams. He's got more fucking kids than Koopa.
And then he just angrily breaks this dude's neck with his legs while just standing up. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the biggest laughs of the movie is, like, the day is saved. He gets in his truck to drive away, and he just gives a polite wave to the farm family as he's driving off.
I mean, I guess you call the police at that point, right? I mean,
give me 15 minutes and then do whatever you want on the phone, that.
You'll feed them to the hogs.
Oh, yeah, dude. Right? Drag them out to the hogs.
Have you seen that movie with a character named Mason Verger?
Well, actually, if you feed them to the hogs, you could write that off in your taxes.
Yeah. Right? Oh, exactly. Look how much hog feed I bought. Yeah, that was like 100 pounds. No, I got a receipt of me weighing it. Look, I wrote down 100 pounds.
It's at least 2 months worth.
I guess three. How many? That big guy is like probably 250 at least.
Yeah.
And then how much man meat you think we got here for the farm?
Well, that's three. That's three fucking guys you got, right?
Yeah, like, but it depends upon how many hogs you have. Yeah,
500-600 pounds of meat.
It's not many, because I'm not seeing any. So you assume it's a low number, because otherwise you would see it.
And then you got to do, you got to calculate how much you're going to spend on your car repairs from the back window. That's a problem.
Oh, sure. Getting those bullet holes out, that's going to be a problem.
Dispatch it with bone.
I'll tell you, the accountant seems like a stand-up guy. I think he would pay for the damage to your ear. I think he would pay for that stuff.
We should
see he leaves a Pollock behind.
Yeah, totally. He's just gifted. Maybe he leaves the Action Comics to that guy.
Mother, what the hell is this stupid poster? It's just a bunch of squiggle lines.
Throws it in the garbage.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the cup that Crass drank out of? Well,
Mother, this don't look like the cup of a carpenter. Throws it away.
But that's the problem. It's not like you could break a Jackson Pollock either. It's like, I'll do a Jackson Pollock, I'll get three Keith Herrings back. It doesn't work that way.
I mean, that's
got
the
change
thing.
For this.
Like, at the end of the movie, when, surprise, surprise, he gifts Anna Kendrick with the Pollock painting that she remarks on later in the film. If she goes to sell that, it's going to be like, well, we need to deduce the provenance of this thing.
You're arrested.
Where did it come from?
Yes, thank you.
Dana,
exactly.
You are going to jail.
That was reported missing over a decade ago.
Like, you can only sell it to another criminal at that point. Yes. That's the only way you can do it. So it's like, I hope you really like this hanging
just
in your apartment.
Just keep it, I guess.
And you need to have a nice criminal there. You got to ask your accountant boyfriend.
Precisely. Or you go on Antiques Roadshow. Oh, so how did you get this? Well, I was on this accountant adventure once. You understand? This guy who's autistic is really hot, but he's really good at math. And also, murder. Oh, interesting.
Certainly doesn't look like it was painted by a Chinese. That guy, we looked up that video. You were right. That guy sounds exactly like that.
It's pretty great.
I saw him though. He slammed a man through a faucet and then put two bullets in his head. So that's the story behind this wonderful painting.
And then the noise goes burr, 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 burr.
So he's driving away from the scene. He calls the handler and he's like, "Hey, this persona is dead. Move all the money to my offshore accounts." And she's like, "All right." And then this is where you need to go. And he's like, "No, I'm going to get Dana." Mm-hmm. And the handler has to be like, "You don't care about this woman. You have to get to safety." No, I'm going for Dana.
Yes.
We got to go save Anna Kendrick here. The assassin's already following her. You know, we see her, you know, walking home. This apartment building that she lives in, what is going on here? It's all industrial hallways.
I thought it was the office again.
Right? Yeah, it looks like Jigsaw should be rigging something down the hall.
It does. Because
she's walking, 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 and these guys are following her, but there's no doors to other apartments anywhere along this hallway.
I don't think movies understand how normal people live. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know what a normal, like, because it's not like, well, she's not rich, so she can't live in a crazy apartment building. So it's got to be like, I don't know, it's like a brick hovel, I suppose. Like, I just, it just doesn't make sense.
I think you're absolutely right. Because everyone involved has like a mansion of some kind, and like the guy with the littlest mansion, like, ew. And then like, well, what would a regular person live like? I don't know, hay, you know, in an industrial room.
It's just I mean, like,
and boiler room,
Chris,
I guess.
You used to live in an illegal Brooklyn loft that looked way more like an apartment building than this does.
Yes,
I mean, there's just, it's like the slaughterhouse from Texas Chainsaw. Like, I don't know what this building is supposed to be. It's just green and white walls, ill lit, and then there's one door that's her apartment.
Yes. Also, you fucking sent what? It looks like a dozen guys to take out, take care of Field Mouse Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
But so she is attacked right here. But there's some like Amazon delivery guys or whatever that are posing, and they come in, they start fighting her, attacking her. She runs into the bathroom here. Thank God the accountant is right on time, though.
You know, since Lithgow is the big bad at the end of this movie, he should be sending robots after.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes.
It's like Ben Affleck versus a bunch of robots.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those robot dogs jumps up, he cracks it over his knee.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice try, accountant. You forgot about my army of robots.
And yes, I partnered with Shredder Corporation. Look at my mousers.
I mean, that's really perfect. The goddamn house invasion at the end of it. He should have goddamn butlers. He got turn them all into knife wielding psychos.
That's the secret, right? Is like all these dudes that are working there, they're actually secret cyborgs.
Yes. It's like Halloween 3, like the yellow shit coming
out
of their
ears.
But no, this movie is kind of about autism, so it has to be serious, goddammit.
Kindness or
So Chris is like taking out these hallway guys. A lot of Ben Affleck shooting people directly in the face in this
movie. It's
great.
Like, again, the movie has started. And I'm like, cool, more of this. And it's going to stop really soon. It's a bummer.
Yep. He choke slams a guy through a sink, which is pretty great. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that.
Anna Kendrick actually gets a couple blows off on some dudes. And I'm like, that is surprising.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to happen. Yeah. This is a great, like, this dude is just dead, water's everywhere, and he's just, we should go.
Yeah.
And then Bernthal gets the call here, and this is where you realize that they were Bernthal's guys, because he's like, how hard is it to kill an accountant? You have no idea, John Bernthal.
I fucking love John Bernthal. I don't
know.
He's just really cool.
He needs to, he's so good in the sequel.
Yeah.
He needs to top line movies.
He does.
I like Jason Statham enough, but let's start cycling him out.
He could be a working man.
Yes, exactly.
Totally.
Right? He could. People will go see a movie that he's the star.
I guess the problem is he's more of a real actor.
That's
the
thing. I don't think he's ready to do that.
He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, like Statham was like pretty quick, like, yeah, no, I'll do that. Yeah. I'm not going to be the great fucking actor that everybody
you
like.
You guys are confused. He's in The Accountant and The Accountant 2.
Sure.
That's not exactly best picture.
I mean, it's Gavin O'Connor, who has made movies that I think have been nominated. I think Warrior got maybe for Golden Globes. Maybe
it could have been for that. I think maybe Nolte was nominated for something, maybe.
I mean, I get, like, this isn't real trash, though. Accountant and Accountant 2 are not real trash. Real trash, they would be focusing on the hitters and all that shit.
Right.
They're not doing that. So what he is not, I think it is what Steve said, he's not ready for that. Like, he wants to still make
You still have the cachet from The Walking Dead. You still have the Punisher cachet. Like, use that while you still can to get yourself into these movies. Like, people will come and be like, oh, fucking, what's his face from The Walking Dead's in an action movie in the theater. I'll
like a John Wick kind of thing, I think would do gangbusters.
I just don't think he wants to do that.
Listen to me, sir. Yes. I know you listen to every podcast about your stuff. Berenthal, give me a call.
Because I was going to say, his best work, in my opinion, is Sicario, where he's beaten the shit out of. He's not like a cool operator.
Oh, right. Yeah, he is good in that.
He he's gets fucking dressed
local
down.
Cop. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Benicio del Toro nearly kills him.
He's great in Wolf of Wall Street, which I want to rewatch.
Incredible. Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot he's in that too.
He worked at Scorsese. I mean, like, again,
you can
like,
do both.
Yes, I know. I agree. He should send out a test balloon where he's just like, it's the plumber, and he's just running around hitting people with pipes and shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Just like, just, because Statham's got like 18 things lined up.
Yeah, sure.
Just as a little Hollywood experiment, give one of those scripts to Bernthal and see what happens.
And
that's all.
Cool it with the Neesons already, all right? Yes.
Exactly.
Grandpa is done. You know
yes,
what I mean?
That's what we need, some new blood.
Wait until Naked Gun makes money.
So it's like, you know, that's even on his mind.
But that's the problem. You know, they would probably give him like the new Taken, and he's like Taken remake nonsense.
Yeah, it can't be that.
No, it should be like a new movie.
A new
I'm saying the plumber, so he's a plumber, you understand?
Right, yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh, what's this plumber up to?
Oh, shit, he's got the fire flower now. Look out.
The plumber, he's going to unclog your drain.
Yeah, I killed Bowser, and I fucking liked it.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, shit, he's got them fireballs. Bloop, bloop.
Trying to make fun of my raccoon shoot. What are you trying to do?
See, he could sell comedy like that too. It's, you know, people that can sell comedy and action.
Yeah.
That's a special little guy.
Absolutely. And you know what? I would watch a fucking 100-minute Punisher movie with him.
That
in it.
Is the answer. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do another fucking series. Give me a quick, lean, mean, yep. fun Punisher movie.
Precisely. And it would be awesome because he's awesome as Frank Castle. And because it's
as
be
of
watchable.
This recording. He was only in one episode of that Daredevil. We the finale is not out yet. I kind of can't imagine him coming back, but maybe he does. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm in Daredevil. I'm like, oh, that's great. They yell at each other for 5 minutes. Fantastic.
And it's one of the best scenes of the season.
Sure.
So, you know, I'll handle this accounting myself is what he says. So,
and it's like, are you doing a Southern accent or are you not? That's a question I had in this movie.
Well, I think that's just closer to how he actually talks.
Yeah, because he's from Maryland or something. He's got a little.
It's a little Mason Dixon-y there because like Frank Castle, he does not. Mm-hmm. Talk like that, but I think the way he naturally speaks is closer to his Walking Dead character, which has that like slight twang to it. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna go after the accountant. Chris Affleck takes Anna Kendrick to this Airstream, and she's very funny here, like, do you live in this, and you know, all that stuff, and he's like, no, this is a storage facility. I do not live in a storage facility.
Well,
and
here's the big question I had. He's spending a lot of time in this. Is he using the restroom of the Airstream, and if so, are you emptying it out? What's the sewage situation?
Oh, great question.
Mm-hmm. Is he taking
shitter was full?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I'm emptying a chemical toilet into the sewer. Yeah, I got a feeling that he's only using that bathroom if he's on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. That's responsible.
So he's making like a go bag. You know, he's got all this money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He just grabs his Action Comics.
Grabbing it like me grabbing fucking donuts at a buffet.
If you're folding a piece of pizza,
you lose $400,000. The second the grease from your finger
is there no dust jacket?
There's a jacket.
There's
it's at least not a loose comic floating around.
But again, you should not be folding it like a pizza.
And again, are you going to go to a restaurant and be like, here you go, please?
Yeah, I'll pay this check for the French fries and the coffee. Here's an Action number one comic. But the thing is, it means nothing to him because he can always go and work for the next. You know, evil organization that's out there.
Now that would be great if you.
I'm working for the American government.
I'm part of Doge.
But no, I would like it if he was just paying for everything in comics. Like, oh, actually, no. Okay, so how was it? 1450. Well, I've got the first appearance of. Oh no, the blob is too much. No.
Here you go. Two of the original run of the Alan Moore Swamp Thing should cover it.
How about the full phalanx series?
Yeah, exactly. I got, I don't know, X Factor number 91. What's that going to do? What's that going to get me?
So meanwhile, in the other movie is something I literally wrote in my notes. But
it really is.
In the other movie here, this is where Mary Beth gets a call from a fella who has done some forensic audio analysis.
Good gravy. Because
she has done some audio manipulation of her own and found out that on that recording of the Gambino hit, you can also hear very faintly Ben doing the Solomon Grundy thing. And the guy, basically, this guy calls her to be like, here's the thing. I listen to it, and the cadence is this, this, and that. You got an autistic person. On this guy is just calling to be like, you're chasing an autistic person. Yes. Is what's happening here.
And you know what? You could augment the audio of me fucking snoring during these scenes because it's just so much. And then she goes to this fat guy, and it's like, What about this autistic name? What about that autistic name?
I want to hear every name of every famous mathematician out there.
Yes.
And we're going to whittle this fucker down.
This poor IRS guy, he's like, and I'm not getting anything out. Like, he's like, what do I get out of this? And she's like, oh, I can make some recommendations. It's like such a hogwash line. Yeah. I was like, you're not going to do shit for this guy. He's going to be in this basement until he dies.
He's not going to be, is he in the second movie?
No.
Oh, that, you can't even do that for him.
So then this is Ben takes her, to the, we should say her character's name is Dana, by the way.
Dana.
Chris and Dana go to the hotel. Dana. And, it's a really nice hotel. And I really like Anna Kendrick here. Like, I can't afford this place. And he's like, my treat, you know.
And again, it's amazing that she sits him down and she's like, how could you do all this stuff? And he's like, my father was very hard on me. He made me train in all these places. And that is why I do this. That's it.
You just
did it. You just cut 20 minutes out of your movie.
Solved it, baby.
I made most of my money working for Crimson Jihad when they were attacking Miami.
He says, you know, they had 34 homes in 17 years. And this is a really sad line from her. She's like, wow, I know that must have been tough to move that much, but I've never gone anywhere. And it's very Anna Kendrick line here. She's like, well, aside from Cancun once, it's the biggest regret of my life. You know, like comedy thing that she does very well.
Exactly. She's great. And it's, she tells this whole story about, it's kind of amazing. Like, we just did The Judge, where characters are forgotten about. She tells this big story about this Vera Wang dress. That's why she wanted it and all this. And it's a good story. It's a good little Anna Kendrick bit.
Right.
She literally goes to sleep and she's out of the movie.
Yep. Yep.
Bye bye.
That's it.
She takes a nap. Ben Affleck lovingly looks at her for a little bit. It's like, can I fuck this lady? Probably not. And he leaves.
Yep.
That's it. And that's it.
She gets a Pollock at the end.
She does. Not that way. An actual painting.
Dirty.
It's better. Oh, I'm sorry for being dirty.
It's a little much.
Uh-huh.
Dirty. It's people have added it up. I'm actually not the dirty
Big
one.
Daddy Cummenstein over here.
What? How did he know my secret profile?
The accountant's on you, dude.
Uh-huh. Big Daddy Cummenstein?
Search Big Daddy Cummenstein.
Oh, yeah, we got him. There he is. Clear as day, Daddy Cummenstein.
That's the thing. If we come to your town, you know what I mean? Eric always travels. If you're trying to find Eric's hotel room, that's what he stays under, Big Daddy
Cummenstein. Now I got to find a new name.
Usually at a Regency.
Got to find a new name. How about Dr. Big Daddy Cummenstein?
Which I guess is better than her getting kidnapped, which would be the other option.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. But I just wish, like, if it became a thing where, like, she's just with him the whole time.
They're tied to each other.
And you found a way to do it where she just wasn't like Kate Capshaw screaming the whole time.
Precisely.
Like, that's more interesting because like a lot of this movie is him just walking around by himself.
Because again, and we have more fucking, so much more exposition to get to. We can't have new stuff. We have to talk about old stuff.
Yeah.
It's a really nice, because he does have a nice line here where he's like, I have a thing where I can't, you know, engage with people even though I really want to, you know, he says to her. And I think it's actually nice. If it didn't spell her leaving the movie forever, I mean, there is something nice about, like, he's closing this door very slowly, and it's this, like, I want to see this person who I've grown to care about in some way, and I don't understand what that might be, maybe, but, like, I want to see her up until the last second. I can't see her anymore, and he's very, closing the door, wait for it, but then, like, she just be sleeping in the rest of the movie.
It's Diane Keaton and The Godfather in slow motion.
he leaves like a crazy note for her, though, right?
Yes.
Like, Dana, you deserve wow.
Yes.
C.
Yeah.
From C.
Wow. You know.
I don't know if it's the beer, Marge, but you deserve wow.
Well, you deserve
$5, get out of here.
Well, I didn't know Dad was such romantic. he realizes this whole thing about crazy Eddie Antar, this big 1980s New York City electronics guy.
Crazy Eddie.
Is this something you recall?
Oh, yeah. I remember the commercials.
Oh, really?
Eddie, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's a criminal?
No, it was just like, he was just, come on down to Crazy Eddie's, yada, yada, yada. I mean, he was apparently a criminal.
Apparently, it was the thing where he found this way to steal from himself and then sell the stealings back to himself.
What's
and make
wrong
more money
with that?
I don't know. because I don't even know what he did.
That's what big companies do, right? Stock buybacks and stuff. It's the same thing.
That's what all our politicians do. Yeah, it was a real fucking fire sale a couple weeks ago. But so, you know, they're suspecting that Rita, here, Jean Smart's character, remember her from mentioned 40 minutes ago in this movie?
Good Lord.
They suspect that Rita is stealing, and they hired him for reasons unknown, maybe to make it look better, like I'm looking into this sort of
and
a deal.
Gene not so smart shot in the head here. That's not so great.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, so he is parked outside Rita's house to surveil. He's like, I'm seeing what I can find out. And this is where he sees Bernthal walking out of the house, and he follows him for a little bit. Bernthal immediately catches on to this, fires at this car.
Yeah, and then they're firing at each other because the last time he saw Braxton, his hair wasn't quite so high. He's like, that can't be Braxton. I think it's Jerry Seinfeld. I'm shooting a Jerry Seinfeld. Either that or John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
What's the deal with assassinating your sitcom hero?
He gave me the finger. That's Braxton.
Yes. Hello, Newman. It's Jerry Seinfeld.
I get it.
So Chris goes back in the house here to see what's going on, and there's just Gene Smart with a bullet through the head. End of Gene.
Yeah, it's another character, another female character written out of the movie.
Ooh. Again, it would have been nice to have like a final scene.
Yeah,
like her and Bernthal like going after each other.
Her screaming and then her sudden silencing.
Well, I wasn't going for quite that, but you know what,
like
Eric?
Just
you
blood
do you.
Curdling. You know you're going to die, and then just the sound of that. And then silence.
Because again, it's one of these movies, to your point, Chris, like you can't just explain things or have information relayed. Everything has to be a fucking surprise. So John Lithgow being crooked has to be this huge surprise. Obviously he's crooked. It's John Lithgow. It's the Law and Order rules.
Law and Order rules, exactly, dude. You see that dude, you see what he's doing, you see that it's Lithgow, boom, there's your
and
guy.
And it's like, I have to wait. So then you can't show the Jean Smart scene, and it would be interesting for her to be like, did my brother put you up to this? That son of a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like she have her be a great actress and do something.
I genuinely don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Boom.
And then silence.
It's Eric. We'll have this. Eric, I swear we'll have the silence. I swear.
Silence.
Okay.
So this IRS guy that Mary Beth has been working with here finds out Christian Wolf is the full name. And we're, you know, investigating all these Christian Wolfs. And we found this one that has ZZZ accounting in a strip mall, and it only made this much money. But oh, would you look at that? ZZ accounting did the tax return for the Chinese restaurant next door and the dry cleaners next door.
Right, the entire strip mall. He's laundering all this money through it.
Oh boy.
Which I mean, I guess is a would have been a good idea 30 years ago, but like now, you know what I mean?
Now that Breaking Bad's been on the air, people figured it out.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so then this woman has to just walk into J.K. Simmons and be like, I got him, Ray. Yeah, and then J.K. Simmons goes, put your cool hat on. We're going to Chicago.
He turns into a different character. He's hat.
Yeah, he's at the Adjustment Bureau. Here.
Man, speaking of Matt Damon movies, that was a snore and a half that I saw in the theater.
I still have not, actually.
Emily Blunt?
Slattery,
I want to say.
Slattery's in there. Yeah, they're all wearing stupid hats, dude. Every last one of them's wearing a dipshit hat in that movie.
And yes, we're going to go to Chicago. They're coming to the movie now, actually.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, he watches. Oh, this is actually where he leaves the hotel. He's watching her sleep or whatever, because there's another flashback. This is the fighting the kids in the streets of Paris flashback. It's like raining, and this dad's like, you're gonna go beat the shit out of those kids right now, and like he goes and does it, but then he also sends Bernthal out to go, like
one kid runs away to go get a Brax.
You gotta show me him hunting that kid down. Are
you
kidding me?
And he breaks his neck in the street. Again, like I would say cut all of the things out. But if you're going to have a flashback, then make it fun.
Exactly. And this, you know, the dad here is like, you know, Chris, you know, you're different. Different scares people. And that's why you just got to beat the shit out of them wherever you go.
I've learned something. You've got to use your autism. I can't take it away from you. You have to use it. I understand now, son.
So they go, the Treasury Department agents go to Chris's house, and it's like no personal things anywhere, just his one fork, one spoon, one knife, one plate situation. And they're trying to figure out what's going on here.
Oh, he's got this Gatlin gun hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, this is a great thing where they're looking in the backyard and they're like, well, he's got about 25 birdhouses in this backyard, and they all have cameras in them. So that's how he's got the back covered. And J.K. Simmons is like,
well, geez, how does he cover the front? Does he have Allstate or something?
No, it's Farmers for him.
Oh, you're right. It is Farmers.
Not an ad. Fuck them. They're bad company.
Sure. And this fucking Gatling gun coming down from the ceiling like a hanging potted plant. And it's like, that is how he covers the front of this house.
This is when he sits her down and explains to her who the accountant is, right? Roughly right here, or?
Sort of. Well, this is, it's kind of around here because, like, Mary Beth has to tell her story. She's like, well, the court didn't tell the whole thing. And it's like, oh, well, what was the whole
drug problem?
I shoved coke up a drug dealer's nose and beat the shit out of him, or, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And the judge pitied the drug dealer, I guess the story is. I don't
know. That's the system for it.
Incredibly compelling.
The only thing in between that is the turn. You realize here there's, and it's, that's the other thing too, is like you're hiding the fact that Lithgow's crooked, and then the reveal isn't even anything theatrical. No, he's on the phone with Bernthal, and he's like, I hired you to do a job.
Because it's this movie all over. It withholds information until it doesn't. You know what I mean? And it's not even like a big whoa. It's just like, that information. Like,
What
did I withheld that information. Now you have it.
Did John Lithgow kill your fucking dad? No, he didn't. I saw how your dad died. It's not that fun.
No.
But like that's what I would assume with the reveal is that like there was some connection happening that we have to finally fucking deal with.
The only thing that sort of comes around here is Lithgow's talking about the accountant, doing the job and whatever, and Bernthal's asking some questions about him, and you start realizing Bernthal is suspecting, oh fuck, is this Chris?
Yes.
And then Lithgow, this is actually again some great, no surprise here, some great acting from Bernthal. Lithgow calls the accountant a twisted freak or a sick freak or something like that. And you can see Bernthal sort of pricks up like, if he's calling my brother, I'm going to be fucking pissed. You know, all in this, like, he just sort of pricks up his ears. Yeah, I mean, Bernthal, my God, like what he transmits. It's
twisted
amazing.
Freak. That could be my brother. Oh, wait, that could be my brother. Okay, you know what? Now I have to take this seriously.
And then this is J.K. Simmons gets into the whole thing about Jeffrey Tambor being the previous accountant for all the black accounting, and now he trained him in prison to take all the gigs. And by the way, I got him out of jail, thus ending his protective cover. He was picked up in minutes by the mafia and tortured to death.
An objection here. Two things, because he's like, they took the old accountant, you understand, they put him in a dirty basement in the Bronx. And the way that it's like, a dirty basement anywhere is gross, but the way he says it's a dirty basement in the Bronx
makes it gross.
Exactly.
It does. Yeah. And it does.
And then he's like, and then they dumped his body in a Staten Island dump. And I'm like, that's
you could have just said Staten Island.
Oh, also, at some point, the reason that Chris got, am I remembering this right? That he was at some point thrown in Guantanamo. And J.K. Simmons had him taken out of Guantanamo for some reason, and then he lost track of him. Because you realize that, like, J.K. Simmons is also feeding the accountant the missions.
I forgot about
it's
this.
It's so
part.
Fucking convoluted.
It's
I really
so
can't.
So convoluted. Because, and then apparently, why he was in jail was because. And it reminded me of Silence of the Lambs. Did anyone else get the Silence of the Lambs? The funeral scene in Silence of the Lambs? Except it turns into a big low-rent brawl.
Oh, this is great. Yes. I love the getting into shove fights at the funeral with the
fighting at a funeral is literally as low rent as you can get.
It's about as trashy as you can get.
You've got to, even if it has to happen, it has to happen outside. That's still trashy.
Yep.
But fighting near a casket is about as trashy
as
you can.
And your fucking body fell out.
Exactly.
And you're not going to beat the Pet Cemetery fight.
Yes.
So why bother? That's already the
that's
high
a good
point,
one.
Baby.
That is kind of the best funeral fight you got.
And the fucking kid fell over. The body's out.
This is, they go to their mother's funeral.
For Lauren Alton.
And it's just the dad and Ben Affleck. No Bernthal, because again,
Bernthal later is like, why the fuck did you go? Like,
she left us. Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
But we're also keeping that information from the audience one more time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone's been sleeping this whole time.
And the new family does not want them there. And again, you probably ask them politely to leave, but if they don't, you're like, well, this is uncomfortable. And that's it. Yeah. You do not throw hands at a funeral, folks.
Nope. And then things get really out of hand here. This fight breaks out, and this cop tries to shoot Ben Affleck, and the fucking father gets in the way and just gets dropped like a sack of bricks.
But am I wrong here? You don't really see the impact. It's like it's because it's all like J.K. Simpson, and then this happens, and then this happens, and you're seeing like flashes of images.
You just see like the cops tackle Ben to the ground, and he's looking, and the dad dies.
You hear the shot.
To Eric's point, I want to see this dude's back explode. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. I've seen this guy be an asshole for fucking 59 minutes.
Yep. I need to see like the pop silence. Like he's freaking out doing his asshole military dad thing, and then blah, blah, blah. Silence.
See, I want to see. Let's see scene two of Jeffrey Tambor's treatment with the father.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody get him.
We didn't talk about it because he just says he was tortured in a dirty basement in the Bronx. And you cut to Jeffrey Tambor in a chair and someone putting a nail into his head like he's Jesus.
Before they're about to burn the fat off his body, it looks like, with that fucking blowtorch.
Nice. There's a quick shot of J.K. Simmons opening a body bag in a morgue and almost vomiting. And you're like, that's fitting.
This is disgusting.
Well, that guy got.
It's just Jeffrey Tambor. You know, his legacy got tarnished. Look at him. He's not even tortured. He's just an asshole.
So he says, you know, the accountant kills anyone who breaks his moral code, basically. And
hey, great.
And this is because he's basically saying to Mary Beth right here, like, listen, when I'm done, we need somebody to direct the accountant. And, you know, when she calls, somebody needs to be there to answer, you see.
I get it. And I mean, like, it is what it is, but it's so convoluted. It's so much easier just to be like, here's this cool story about this creepy forensic accountant who fucking fucks people up.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it. And then the handler calls the house right here because they're still sitting in Ben Affleck's abandoned house while this is going on. And she's like, tell J.K. Simmons to get his feet off the table, i.e. we're surveilling you in the house right now, sort of a deal here. And then Bernthal asking, again, Lithgow, like, what did this account look like? What did he sound like or whatever? And while this is going on, the final action set piece of the movie starts to take place. Chris invades Lithgow's property, now knowing, you know, who did the deed.
Just like the end of Haywire, if it was horrible.
Oh, right. Yeah, it does kind of, it ends in a rich guy's house.
House with a bunch of guys who are trying to kill him. And then Gina Carano, you know, she sucks, but great scene.
Great scene. Great scene.
And again, might have my army of robots. Like, that would be really
That'd
something.
Be nice.
Or like when he does shoot him in the head, which is hilarious, which we'll talk about.
It's a great one.
If he just pulls it, I was like, sorry, not going to work with me. I'm a robot now.
It's like you made yourself into a robot, but you still talk like that.
Have you seen Short Circuit? I made my own Johnny Five.
He has tread wheels come out of his legs.
Dude, that would be awesome if it was shitty robots. My army of shitty robots.
Missiles coming out of his nipples.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
It's like the March of the Penguins with the penguin in Batman Returns, but it's Furbies and shit.
They've all got rockets on them.
Yeah, little Teddy Ruxpins.
My Furbies! And they drag him out to the river later after he dies.
It's a river of battery acid.
And they're all, these little Furbies are just dragging Lithgow with a bullet in his head.
Well, they put him on a bunch of Roombas. The funeral procession.
Just dragging him along.
He should be like, what's his face from Blade Runner? I have all these little fucking weird robots in his house.
Yes. Oh, that rock.
William, whatever his face is.
The creator.
Sanderson.
Sanderson, there it is. So we just, the assault on this house is awesome.
It's cool. And then like,
Merkin dudes inside and out.
But at this point, it takes him a while. Even still, Bernthal isn't sure that it's his brother, because like he's sending dudes after him.
Yep.
But when he sees him on the camera is when he's finally is like, oh no, it's my brother.
Oh fuck. There's a great major LOL from Lithgow where like after all of the shooting has gone down, Lithgow's like surveilling the carnage and he's just going, are they dead? Which one of them's are dead?
And again, like this guy's killed his sister. Like you don't get enough out of him. As
like,
a villain.
No. Yeah, because it's like, you fucking had your own sister put down, dude. Like, that's some nefarious shit.
Yes.
It's crazy, especially because you have an actor like John Lithgow. He doesn't have a parlor scene of any kind.
Well, that's kind of almost the joke of it, is basically.
Right, but like you could have still had that hilarious moment, and then the parlor scene happened
earlier
in the movie.
Yes. Just to give it some weight, because it's just so flimsy. And I do, but the action here is good.
It's good stuff. He realizes, by the way, not just seeing Chris on the camera, he hears Chris doing the Solomon Grundy thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, motherfucker.
Any highlights here in the action scenes? I'm trying to think of a good
There's one where he's like, some guy like has a bomb he's about to, or like
a grenade.
Yes,
the grenade.
And he hugs him.
Well, he puts it in his bulletproof vest.
Jack. Yeah.
And so it's gonna like do that. And I feel like, I'm not sure, because that's the one that puts Chris out for a bit. I feel like it hits him in the balls somehow.
That could be.
Like the explosion.
Right in my nuts. I get hit in my nuts. owie, my balls. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, slipping it between his own chest and the flak jacket. And this dude just blows up. Probably the greatest grenade death since Child's Play 3. I'm
pretty good.
That
yeah, not bad.
Because that fat kid falling on a grenade is still one of the funniest things you'll see in any movie ever. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. Again, just the whole, like, I have a huge, like, silenced machine gun thing, and I'm putting it right to your face before I put so much face machine gun
There's
shots.
Cool, like, throwing people through glass stuff going on, which is, you know,
I like that.
The action in this movie is good, and it makes you want to. I will probably stream The Accountant too. Because
I think it's way better than this movie.
It is. So then finally, yes, it's brother to brother. You know, you're the reason Pop's dead. This, that, and the other thing. We get a little. I love how it's like it's a fight between two assassins, but it is also like a brother fight.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
But what if you're Lithgow? You got to start doing math here, and you hear. Well, they're brothers. You've got to grab. You got to grab your go bag and just fucking skedaddle out the back.
Yes. Wow, what are the odds? This is awkward. Bye bye.
Or you know, you can do the opposite: is heat up some of that progressive soup and throw it on them.
Yeah, yes.
You got to get it to boil. First.
Hot soup. Take some cream of mushroom, accountant.
Not too thick. Actually, I'll do the minestrone.
Do you smell something? No, I'm just so glad to see you. Ow!
Let me invite you to my Italian wedding. yeah, so there's the Lithgow thing that's awesome is he's trying to like plead his case and he's talking about
all
the prosthetics
done,
business, you know, and he's like, I give them hope. Do you even know what that's like? And just Ben Affleck goes, yes, I do, and casually shoots this guy right in that. He barely fucking looks at him when he does
it. It's kind of a cool death,
It absolutely
just,
is.
Him just suddenly dropping to the floor.
It's
great.
Because you expect the parlor scene here, and that's a good subversion.
Yeah. So he's dead, and they sort of just like, you know, I've been looking for you for 10 years, says Braxton. And Christian says, well, I've known where you are this whole time, but I haven't reached out, but I'd like to see you. You want to hang out next week? He says, just tell me where am I going to meet you? I'll find you. You know,
and
walks out.
Their scene is good. Like the whole, like, he's like, you're not even happy to see me. And like that, there's the weird thing. Like he's trying to get emotions out of this guy that he can't get. And it's still frustrating him after all these years. Again, pretty good movie.
Yep.
It makes sense to put these two together.
Yep,
much earlier.
If you did it like 30 minutes into the 2 hour and 8 minute movie, that would have been cool.
And they took the note. They did it in the sequel.
Precisely, they're together pretty much the whole time. So Medina gives a press conference here at the end. It's like you think J.K. Simmons is about to be introduced, but the guy, I guess it must be the Treasury Secretary, then introduces her instead. So Mary Beth comes up and makes this announcement where she says, "Oh, is the great." Teamwork, all the people.
It's a great, like, oh, I can't take credit. Oh my God, she's going to totally rat on the account.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yes.
No, she's going to. It was a team effort. Like, oh, she didn't rat on the account. Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And J.K. Simmons is like, right on time. Now I can retire. And I hopefully don't get murdered in the first 5 minutes of the second movie, which is in the trailer. So that is not a spoiler.
Here's your accountant key.
Does he have a videotape like Pantoliano and Bad Boys 16?
No, but he does a cool thing to get a message out there, which I thought was kind of
neat. Now, you understand if you're in an accountant sequel, you should.
If you're watching this tape, it probably means you're in The Accountant 2, and I've been killed in the street.
You still don't have to pay attention to Medina. It still does not matter, to be clear.
Don't worry, kids. You don't have to listen to a word this woman says.
If Medina's on the screen, that's when you'll want to go to the bathroom or perhaps visit the concession stand.
Re-up your milk duds.
Whenever you see Medina on screen, you should wonder to yourself, do I need more milk duds?
Might be time to refill that popcorn.
Perhaps you're tired from the night before. You could rest those eyes when you see Medina. When you hear a gunshot, you want to open your eyes yet again. Mountain Girl?
So then it's like, oh, well, this movie is surely over at this point, right?
Oh, lordy.
No, no. Back to the neuroscience center where we're seeing the same doctor from the beginning giving a tour to this new family coming in.
I wanted to
see. Because
you forget there is a mystery behind who Computer Girl is. And of course, in those pointless little kid scenes in the first one, there is one girl who is
nonverbal
that they keep showing, and you're like, she's got to be something.
She's got to be doing something.
Exactly.
And she's the handler. You know, she is the handler. She uses it is a weird detail where like she is introduced. And they're like, oh, like maybe your son wants to see her computer for a second. Oh, yeah, you like computers, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the dad is like walking out. He's like, wow, hell of a computer that she's got there. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're a software designer. What kind of computer do you have? And the guy's like, she could backdoor the NSA with that fucking thing.
I mean, she could probably, if there was like, I don't know, like a secret agent accountant, perhaps. She could probably use that for all sorts of help for that secret agent accountant.
He's on to us. He must be eliminated. But yeah, that's,
you know, this scene doesn't even need to be in the movie. Absolutely, you're right.
But yeah,
you're still here? Go home.
What are you doing here?
I understand when you see these scenes. These scenes also you can leave. Really, any time someone isn't holding a gun or a knife, yeah, it's probably exactly when you want to nod off.
But yeah, it turns out that this is Justine. She's been nonverbal for 30 years. The doctor who runs the place is her father.
Yes.
That's why she's the only permanent resident, we're told. Yada, yada, yada.
And she uses at the end with the kid. She asks him if he wants to play a game, and it's the same voice.
Yes, yeah. And it's the same, like, sweetheart or whatever she calls Ben Affleck.
Yes.
She calls this boy, darling, and they're like, oh, got it, yeah, you know. And I'm like, well, surely now that Professor Xavier has told us that, you know, there's a special school, now the credits must come. Oh, no, no.
Do we get an expansion of that into does Computer Girl come back?
Yeah.
Computer Girl.
Do we have
back,
like Cleaner Boy who takes care of the crime scenes?
No.
Let's not spoil anything, but I will say that there's so much more of what you want in two, but there's still some stuff of what you don't want.
It's not a 5-star affair, sure, but it's way better than what we got here. So yeah, that's where she's left. And then, my God, Dana still in the movie.
Dana.
And she goes to his storage facility, finds that it's empty, goes back to her apartment, ding dong, FedEx delivery. Oh, wouldn't you know it, it's a canvas of dogs playing poker. Wow, this canvas is mounted shittily. Let's tear it off immediately. There's the Pollock painting.
It would be great. Nice. There's something under here. Let me just get a butcher knife and cut. Oh, wait, I cut through a Jackson Pollock painting. Yep. Wow, that's a sin.
Time to cut something else on myself.
And then, yeah, the last shot is the accountant. He's driving off. He's got the Airstream hooked up to the F-150. And just driving off into the sunset.
And then he goes to pay for gas. He's like, well, I have the first appearance of Blade. I understand that. That should probably... I expected that to increase in value with the new movie, but honestly, just take it. It's never going to happen.
You don't want the entire original printing of that time Blade hung out with Dracula? It's pretty cool. Perfect honeymoon reading. That's what I found. That's where I read that.
Oh, really?
Honeymoon in Mexico.
It's worth more than $90 for the gas.
But that is where the accountant one leaves off way back in 2016. Go around the horn here for some final thoughts. Mr. Siska.
Yeah. It's a light recommend. I liked it more the second time I watched it. It still got so many problems. I do agree with Steve's point of go to the bathroom, fall asleep during every scene where someone's not holding a gun or a knife. I do think that the sequel is I've got it. I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed it. Maybe I was just too intoxicated at the time, but it was a fun time, and I recommend checking out the sequel. This one, I guess you should watch just to know what I feel like it's dependent. You kind of need to know this.
It kind of is. Although if you've listened to this and you still haven't seen it, you got it.
Yeah, just go to the sequel. Fuck this movie.
There's also Wikipedia articles, baby.
Very light recommend.
Chris Cabin.
Oh, no, no, no. This is awful. I don't even think, like, yes, the guns and knife scenes are the best scenes. Mm. I don't even think they're very good as compared, like, something like Haywire, where I'm just like, okay, this is actually really well done. Whereas, like, this is just, like, normal, you know, blocking, you know. Cut to this, shoot this. It's easy enough and it's nice enough. It fills the quote, the canon film group quota is what we're looking for here. And they do that.
Sure.
And I give them credit for that. I'm looking for another really good Ben Affleck performance. And that Way Back comes awfully close. Hmm. He is really good in that, but I still haven't gotten it. And this certainly is not it. I don't think he's very good in this. I think Bernthal, because of it's John Bernthal, he's just got.
Right.
And I think they're doing that with Lithgow too. It's just like, Well, who cares what character he is? It's John Lithgow. Yeah. Come on.
Right. They both got Riz.
Exactly. And that's all you want from them in this. And like, I feel like you're holding back on Ben Affleck's Riz by doing this, whatever he's doing here.
Yeah.
Just no for me.
I do think Ben Affleck is better in the sequel as well.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a better handle on the character. Steven.
Yeah. And it's a no for me. I think it's so weighted down. And I do think that, again, there's a lean, mean, dirty movie to be made here that is probably pretty good. I'm not crazy about Ben Affleck here, but I'm right in the middle. Like, it's just, I could see what he's doing. He's doing better than Ben Affleck would. If you heard that Ben Affleck was playing an autistic accountant, you'd be like, excuse me?
That's what I was back in 2016.
Yes. It is much better than that. Because again, Ben's an okay actor when he really tries. I think Air is a pretty good performance.
That's what I was going to shoot at. I think he's actually quite good in that.
Yeah. Like, again, not terrific, not the world's best, but he's got a movie star kind of thing to him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's it. And Damon's obviously the better actor. It's not even a question. But long story short, it's not a long story. It's a long story long is the problem. And I do sort of hate this desire in certain movies to just keep information from you to turn it into a twist when it's just information.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a cheap way to do something. And I think this movie is cheap in all of those ways.
Yeah, it's just that thing with the script of like you're trying to be sneaky and tricky about stuff and nobody cares. And the movie's not better for it. It's in fact worse for it. It's still a light recommend for me. You know, it's a rental. I'd say, though, honestly, like if you go see the second one in a theater, it's a big action movie that you would want to see on a big screen with people. I mean, we were in a filled theater and it was awesome.
We had it was like a 1,000 seat filled theater and it was infectious to be with the crowd during that.
Exactly. Like when the action's like really cooking and people are like in on it and you know, him and Bernthal are fucking going at it against people. It's fucking great. But this is, you know, sometimes you lose your footing on the start or it's a slow start. And it's just like the script structurally is just, it's dumb town. You could fix all the flashback stuff, like we said, with dialogue put in the movie. And sometimes you indeed had that dialogue anyway.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever is what it is. Light recommend. But that is going to do it for this episode on The Accountant. And if you want more We Hate Movies, of course, check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where just last week we released a We Love Movies on The Conversation, the second part of our Gene Hackman episode tributes here. Great movie, a lot of fun talk, but also a lot of just praise for that excellent movie.
Right, and that's kind of one of those movies there, like how everything that this movie does wrong with the tracking and behind the scenes stuff, that movie does right.
It's
way that movie makes talking interesting. Go see, watch that movie. I feel like a lot of people might not watch it.
Right.
Because it's old,
right?
But it's fucking great.
If you haven't seen this, The Conversation, but you're going to watch The Accountant, watch The Conversation first and then watch The Accountant.
100%.
Not that they're related at all, but you should see The Conversation before The Accountant.
I just think, like, you know, sometimes we do the We Love Movies, and sometimes people maybe not as jazzed about certain ones, but like, give it a shot, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Give it a shot. So that's on there. Also, we should say all these We Hate Movies episodes that are coming out, you can get them commercial free on that bad boy, too.
We just did an animation Damnation on, it's coming out this month, on Gem and the Holograms.
Hell yeah, that was fun. What was it called? Terrorist Attack at the Indy 500?
Intrigue.
Oh, Intrigue. Yes. Oh,
very, very fun episode. Hot dogs, mafia stuff, songs. I had a great time with that.
That's a good one. We were talking about a real fucking OG.
Neil Ray Gunn.
No, it's Newt Gunray on the Gleep Glossary, our Star Wars sideshow. And this is the guy that runs the Trade Federation from the prequels. And yes, we're doing it because we're in Tariff Town.
Exactly. That's why that worked. Also, of course, we've come to the explosive conclusion of the Daddy Wars on Melrose 210. And we had a really just what you expect from a Lifetime movie discussed on Once in a Lifetime. Pocket
Dial Murder. Not,
there it is.
Not Butt Dial, should've as
been.
It should be.
Absolutely.
It's Pocket Dial Murder if you're looking for it.
Totally. But that is the Patreon offerings for this month. Most of them. Of course, the next is another thing coming out towards the end of the month. So that is that. And of course, you know, like every Tuesday here on We Hate Movies, there's a brand new WHM hot out of the oven for you. Steve Sadek, what are we talking about next week?
A long time coming. It's The Craft.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting witchy next week.
That's right. Watched this one a lot growing up, I did.
Oh, you know, I always wanted to be light as a feather.
Really?
Too bad I'm stiff as a board right
now.
Well, I'm getting older, so I kind of want that, too.
So until next week, when we see who among us is stiff as a board, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.